Well, folks, it is a pleasure to be back here with you. Maybe you're wondering, was my wife happy with her birthday? She was very happy with her birthday. And thank you for letting me go back up home to get a bit of birthday cake. But folks, we're here tonight to talk about the new birth. And again, I just want to remind you, if this is perhaps even the first time you're getting a look at me, I'm a Christian. And that is my hope by the end of certainly my time here, or by the end of this fortnight, you will be a Christian too, if you're not already trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. We hope and pray that Christ will be your cornerstone, again, if he is not already. But I know a wee bit more about Ballinahinch than I do about Kilkeel, but maybe you can figure this out if Kilkeel is anything like us up in the town. But in Ballinahinch, we'd be a gossipy wee place. And you're never quite sure if you can believe everything you hear. There's a saying in Ballinahinch that if you sneeze at the Eagle Gates, by the time you get up the town to the War Memorial, people have you in intensive care in the Royal Victoria Hospital. At the minute, we're still hearing rumours about the bypass that apparently is coming to Ballinahinch. It has been coming for about 56 years, as far as we can figure out. But recently we've heard rumours again, the bypass is on the way. I'm there 7 years now, and still no bypass. And also, in Ballinahinch, one of the big rumours at the minute is that Super Value has closed, and we're getting a Tesco's. Now, I like Tesco's all right, but then you talk to somebody else, and they tell you we're getting a Sainsbury's. And then there's another rumour that it's not Sainsbury's at all, it's Asda, like the one you've got down here. You never know who you can believe in Ballinahinch. And the other thing is, folks, even in our own families, we're not sure who to believe. See, when you were growing up all those years ago, did your granny ever tell you that if you sat too close to the fire, your bones would melt? Did you ever hear that one? Or if you watched too much TV, your eyes would turn square? Or if the wind changed, your face would stay like that? You ever hear those things? Now, I know my granny was spoofing because I have three daughters. And whenever we have a fire lit, I stick them in front of it and put the TV right up in their face. And it's never done them any harm. They're all right to this very day. But folks, that's life. Who do you believe? Is everything we hear true? Or is a lot of it too good to be true? Tonight we are in John's Gospel, in John chapter 20. And what we find in John's Gospel is the story of a dead man who has come to life. Now imagine word of that was going around Kilkeel tonight about someone who you had been to his funeral a few days ago, but now that same person is alive and well and walking the streets of Kilkeel. Probably if someone told you a story like that, you'd think their head was cut, they needed a bit of medical help, and it would be too good to be true. And yet at the heart of the Christian faith is exactly that story, that our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sin. He was placed in a tomb, a stone was rolled in front of it, and he rose again from the dead. Exactly that story is at the heart of the Christian message, and it is absolutely true. Now, folks, you have maybe heard this before. You've maybe seen it on a billboard. Maybe you know the Christian cry, Christ is risen, and you just think, nah, I'm not buying into that. People don't rise again from the dead. Well, actually, the scriptures tell us that's exactly what happened. In John chapter 20, the Lord has died. He has been placed in his tomb. And on as the story unfolds, the disciples don't yet understand the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead, and they go back to their homes. But there's this woman called Mary, and she stands weeping outside the Lord Jesus' tomb. And as she stooped to look into the tomb, there were two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been placed. And they say to her in verse 13, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary pours her heart out. She says to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." And she thinks you would get the impression that somebody has stolen the Lord's body. They've taken him away. They're playing a cruel joke. Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Who has done this? Who has taken away Jesus? And this is just not a funny thing for Mary. She is weeping. She is distraught. She can't believe this. And yet what these angels are about to tell her just blows her away. Woman. Why are you weeping? She tells him the whole big story. And when she turns around, who is there? It is Jesus. And he says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? whom are you seeking? And she thinks that he is the gardener. And so she says to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And at that, Jesus says this lovely, tender word to her, Mary, Mary. And suddenly, Mary gets it. Suddenly, it dawns on her that Jesus was crucified, that Jesus was dead, that Jesus was buried, but he is alive again. And she cries out, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus tells her, look, don't cling on to me. Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell them what you have seen. And so Mary heads down the road saying, I have seen the Lord. Jesus is alive and well. And Mary sees with her own two eyes. And yet, even tonight, we're thinking, too good to be true. Too good to be true. No one defeats death. No one does this. But Jesus does this. He dies for sin and he is raised for our justification, and he is the first fruits of all who will be raised, the Bible tells us. And if our faith is in him, we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life. My friends in Kilkeel, do you believe that? I hope you do, because it is absolutely true, and it should have been no surprise to the disciples or to Mary or to anyone involved with Jesus. He had spoken plainly about it all throughout his ministry. In John 11 and verse 25, Jesus makes it clear, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He makes it clear. This is what I'm about. This is what I'm here to do. I will die, but I will be raised. And if you believe in me, you will not die, but you will enjoy everlasting life. And in Mark 8 and 31, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer, he must be rejected, he must die, and on the third day he will rise. And Mark tells us he spoke plainly about these things. He spoke plainly about these things. Jesus knew what was coming. It was no surprise that he would be handed over to be crucified. And Jesus knew that on the third day, he would rise again from the dead. And his disciples heard it. They should have believed it, but they had not yet come to terms with this wonderful, truthful, great news. And folks, tonight I hope it is no surprise to you. Tonight I hope you're not sitting here thinking, no, I don't believe that. And Jesus rising again from the dead, that sounds just like a fantastic tale. Indeed, in Luke's gospel, he tells us that when the disciples heard the news about Jesus rising again from the dead, they reject it. It sounds to them like nonsense, and so they don't believe it. But friends, don't be surprised tonight at what the Lord can do. Don't be surprised tonight that Jesus died for sin and rose again from the dead. And don't be surprised tonight that he says to you, if you believe in him, you will be saved. Now, folks, I am a man who doesn't like surprises often in my life. It is my birthday on the 10th of May. My good ladies, today, my birthday on the 10th. Don't you worry about my wife's birthday, but put my one into your diary, Kilkeel. And I will accept gifts given up through your minister, and I'll accept whatever you want to get me off my list. Because that is the key. I don't like surprises. My wife loves me dearly, but she has a wee habit at birthday and Christmas of getting you things that you don't want. Now, I love my kids too, but I don't want to see their faces on a mug that I'm drinking out of every morning. I see them live and in person. If I want to look at them, I'll go and look at them. I don't need a mug. So I say to the wife, no surprises, love. Just stick to the list. And then everybody's happy. But folks, this tonight, this resurrection, this shouldn't surprise us. The Lord had a plan of salvation, and he was working it out. And his son, Jesus, would die in our place. He would do what we could never do. He would pay the price for sin. And he gives us this living hope that when the day comes that we will be placed in the grave, there is more to life than that. We will stand again when Jesus returns. And those who are found in Christ will live with him forever. Don't be surprised at these words. Don't believe that they're some idle tale or full of nonsense. This is the truth. And Mary discovers it. And she tears off down the road and she meets the disciples and she says, I have seen the Lord. But they don't quite believe it. John goes on and he tells us in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And yet Jesus comes among them anyway and stands in their presence and he says, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this in verse 20, he showed them his hands and his side, and then his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The doors locked, fearful that what has happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. And yet here is Jesus in the midst, and he says, "Look, look at my wounds. Look what's happened to me. It is me. It is me." And they rejoice. They are glad. They are delighted. And look what they say. Jesus gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and Thomas isn't with them, but they say to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." They believe it. It is not an idle tale. It is maybe a surprise, but they come to realize that they shouldn't have been surprised. Jesus is alive and well. And suddenly their fear is turned to celebration. And we know what it is like, don't we, to fear. We know what it is like at times not to be able to get any sleep because we're worried about something. We know what it's like at times to want to hide behind the sofa. Maybe when Stephen comes up the driveway in Kilkeel, you're, "Oh, quick, there's the minister." That happens sometimes at Ballinahinch. And you see the curtains twitching. And you know they're in there. And they know you're out there. But the let on, they're not. Now, you're too holy to do that in Kilkeel, I'm sure. But the disciples were afraid. They had lost sight of who it was they loved and worshipped and adored. They'd lost sight that for Jesus everything was possible. And they're afraid. They're hiding away. I have this game that I love to play with my daughters. I put a big blanket over me with this big red fluffy sleepy blanket, I call it. Because as soon as I put it on me, whether it's morning, afternoon or evening, I'm out like a light in about 35 seconds. But I put this blanket on me and I chase them around the house. And I pretend that I'm the blanket monster. Now, they know that it's Daddy underneath the blanket. They see me putting the blanket over me. But once it's there, they lose sight of who their Daddy is, and they panic, and they run, and they enjoy a wee bit of it. But there's always that moment where my wife comes and says, "Right, Scott, take the blanket off, or those three kids will not sleep at night." You put the fear into them. Now, they know, or at least they should know who it is. But they forget. When all the fear hits them, they forget. And the disciples are like that. They forget. The doors are locked. Jesus is dead. He is gone. He is buried. He's not coming back. And now they have to take things into their own hands and lock the doors in case something bad happens. And yet here is the crucified, risen Jesus, who is not stopped by a locked door. And he stands in their midst and he says, "Peace be with you." And the change that is wrought in these men's lives. We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. And suddenly the door is open, and soon they will get out and they will preach the gospel, because they know that Jesus can't be trusted. They know that his gospel is not some nonsense, some idle tale that you've heard down the bottom of the street in Kilkeel. They know it is true, and that the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And yet there's this wonderful story of another disciple, and you know his name. He's called Thomas. And to this very day, we still call him Doubting Thomas. Because the disciples say to him, "Thomas, we have seen the Lord," and he wasn't there. He didn't see with his own eyes. And so Thomas makes this bold claim: "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe it." Thomas doubts. He's not too afraid, but he is full of his doubts. He doesn't believe what his friends are saying to him. And he says, "Unless I see, unless I touch, I will never believe it." And friends, look what's happened. 8 days later in verse 26, the disciples were inside again. Thomas is with them this time. And again, although the doors were locked, Jesus comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." And then to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand. Place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe, Thomas. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says, "You've believed because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Do you see the change here, folks? Do you see the reality that Jesus has in people's lives? Crucified, dead and buried, but risen. And when he meets with them, suddenly their weeping turns to joy. Suddenly their fear turns to good gospel confidence. Suddenly their doubts are cast away. And why? Because these men and this woman, Mary, have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know that he is not some charlatan with some false tale to tell them. They know that he is not some chancer trying to sell them something that's going to break in about a week. Folks, they realize who Jesus is. He is nothing more and nothing less than the chosen one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, who was sent to die for their sin and who was risen from the dead for their justification. They see with their own eyes. They believe in their hearts, and they are in glory today because of this Jesus. And friends, tonight, what about you? Because we are here, and whilst the Lord is here by his Spirit, we cannot see him. We cannot see his wounds or touch them with our own hands. And even some of you still, because of that, say with Thomas, unless there's evidence like that, I will not believe it. And yet, friends, I ask you to look around. Look at this building that you've worshipped in for all your days. Maybe your father and his father worshipped here. Look at all the evidence around you in this town. All the men and women who share this gospel and who live for Christ. Do you think that they need their heads examined? Or do you think the reality is that they too have met with the Lord Jesus Christ? For me, when I came to faith, folks, I told you a wee bit this morning, but it was on the 16th of November, 1998. And do you know where it was? In my wee bedroom on 37 Hollycroft Avenue. Don't be going there, by the way. There's no blue plaque up. I'm not that famous. But that's where it was. My mother and father's wee two up, two down house in the glorious East. And I was there on my own. I shared the room with my brother, but it was at night. I was on my own. It was a cold, wet winter's night. And it was this quiet wee prayer that I prayed, knowing that the Lord would hear it, knowing that his gospel was worth believing, knowing that he had died for me and was risen from the dead. And if that I believed in him, I would not perish. And folks, I prayed that night, and I was saved that night, and there was nothing extraordinary about it. There was no shining lights, no choirs of angels singing, but I stand here before you tonight as a man that can say, I have seen the Lord. I promise you that. And I know he is good, and I know that he does not lie, and I know that if he promises you something, he will deliver. And tonight he doesn't say to you, look, trust me, and everything's going to be easy. Because do you know what? Sometimes it's not for Christians. Sometimes Christians get it tight. And you will know that maybe. Maybe some of you tonight who are sitting here as followers of Christ know what it is like to struggle in this life. Jesus doesn't promise us jelly and ice cream and everything to go well always. But what he does say is that if you trust me, if you believe in me, if you stop believing, disbelieving and believe, then you will be saved from your sin. Then your sins will not be counted against you. Then one day when you leave this place or when I return, you will be with me forever in paradise as we heard this morning. And if Jesus promises these things, if his word makes this absolutely clear, then my friends here in Kilkeel, why do you not believe? Why do you think that it is nonsense or some idle tale? Why do you think the cross and the resurrection of Jesus is like a bit of gossip you hear down the town? You can accept it or you don't, but it doesn't really mean much. It means everything. It means absolutely everything. And what you do with this news is life or it is death. What you do with this risen Jesus means absolutely everything for you. And I ask you tonight, what will you do with him? On this first day of our mission, what are you going to do with this risen Jesus? Some of you tonight perhaps are like Mary, and you've had a hard time. The tears pour down your cheeks, and they pour down behind closed doors. And when you come to a place like this, you put the big smile on, and you let on everything's all right. But secretly, inwardly, you're hurt and you're broken. And some of you tonight think, well, if I trust Jesus, what will people think? You're a big man or you're a woman, and you think, well, I couldn't deal with the laughter. I couldn't deal with people down in Kilkeel thinking my head's away, and you're afraid. And some of you, just like Thomas, well, you're full of your doubts. Although boys like me come and shout and roar and get on and open the Bible and tell you what it says, you think, nah, I'm not buying into that. Friends, whatever condition you are in tonight, you need Jesus. You need your sins forgiven. And he chases away your tears, and he eases your fears, and he pushes your doubts to one side, and he comes in his resurrected power, and he meets with you, and he forgives you your sin, and you say, I have seen the Lord. And friends, when you know that, and when you trust Christ as yours, truly you can say, I am a saved man and woman, and whatever comes in my life, whether it is good or bad, I know my Savior lives, and I will be with him one day forever. That is the joy of being a Christian. And my friends, why are you not a Christian? Why do you not trust this Jesus? It is not an idle tale. It is not something that we've made up. Christ Jesus was risen from the dead. And he appeared to many. And later Paul in 1 Corinthians says he appeared to more than 500 brothers. This is not some myth of the church. This is a historical fact that our Savior died and rose again from the dead. And soon, Mary's tears would be dried up, and she would run, and she would jump, and she would declare, I have seen the Lord. And soon, the disciples, well, they would unlock the door, and they would go to the highways and the byways, and they would preach the gospel, and all of them would lose their lives because of it. And Doubting Thomas, we still call him Doubting Thomas, but you know what happens to Thomas? Thomas loses his life, martyred for the cause of Christ, because Doubting Thomas turned to Believing Thomas. And he would die for his Savior because he would not deny him anymore. Friends, that is the reality of what Christ Jesus does in these men and women's lives. And tonight I urge you to stop your disbelief and to believe in this Jesus. There's lovely words here in John's Gospel. In verse 30, he says, Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. I love the fact that the Lord has revealed plenty to us about the life of Christ, but not everything. There's more that we do not know. Thomas says, there's plenty that's not written in this book. But these things are written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I love that. John says, here is why this book has been written, so that you may believe. So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you will have life in his name. You see, folks, there is a great lie of the evil one. And it is the same lie that he spreads in Ballinahinch, and it is the same lie that he spreads here in Kilkeel. He tells us that life is all about eating and drinking and being merry. Life is short, so you may as well enjoy it. You don't get a second chance at this life, so live it to the full. And there is nothing coming after this, so you may as well have your good time now, because once you're dead, you're a long time dead. And he tells us that. And many of us believe it. And many of us think, well, there's nothing else, so I'm going to enjoy my time on earth while I've got it, and that's it. But John doesn't believe that, and the scriptures don't tell us that. John says, you are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life, true life, abundant life, eternal life in his name. Because there is a life to come. There is more than Kilkeel and Ballinahinch and East Belfast. I don't know if you've heard the phrase YOLO uttered in Kilkeel. Has it got down here? Certainly we don't say it as good Presbyterians, but YOLO, do you know what that means? You only live once. You only live once. But it's a lie, friends. Don't believe it. Because as sure as Jesus has risen from the dead, so it is sure that he is coming back, and there will be a resurrection of the dead. And you remember what I shared with you back in January? When Jesus comes and the dead are raised, we will either be on the right-hand side or the left. Those on the right go to everlasting life. Those on the left go to everlasting suffering in that place called hell. And friends, tonight, as a divided congregation, like any congregation up and down the land, there are those who know Christ and are on the right, and there are those in our midst on the left, this very hour. And you know who you are. You know what side you're on. And yet I call upon you tonight to switch sides before it is too late. You don't only live once. Eternity is long, and you will spend it somewhere. It will be in paradise, or it will be in hell. And so where will you spend it? Tonight, folks, if you fancy hell, then just sit there and do nothing. Because our sins are great against the holy God, and his wrath abides on us, and we can sit and do nothing, and we will see that place. But my friends, flee from that place. Flee from it. It is not somewhere that you want to be. It is not the place that you want to spend eternity. And so tonight, if you would want this paradise, if you would want to know your sins forgiven, if you want a bit of that life that John talks about here at the end of chapter 20, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Crucified for your sin and raised from the dead for your justification. And tonight he calls upon you to stop disbelieving, but believe. And that by believing, you will have life in his name. Folks, a Christian by the name of Lorraine Bettner once wrote that those who are born twice will die only once. Those who are born twice will die only once. What was Mr. Bettner writing about? Well, he's writing about John's revelation. At the end of the Bible in Revelation 20, he says that those who have rejected Christ are turned into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Friends, let those words sink in. Again, you're maybe even now thinking, words of a preacher. No. Words of the Word of God. The Word of God speaks. Those turned into the lake of fire, along with Satan and his angels, this is the second death. My friends, know the danger of that tonight if you have rejected Jesus. Know tonight before you go to sleep the trouble that you are in. And I pray this. You mightn't think I'm a very nice man, but I pray you'll not get a wink of sleep tonight unless you do business with Christ. The second death awaits you. But as Lorraine Bettner writes and as the scriptures testify, if you are born twice, once of natural descent, and the second birth, the new birth by believing in Jesus, then you will die only once. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will be with Christ forever and ever. Amen. Folks, what will it be tonight as this mission begins? And today, as you've heard about the crucified Jesus, who is also the risen Jesus, will you go on as if nothing has been said today, as if nothing has happened? Or will you call upon him and be saved? The disciples initially didn't believe it, but they died because they wouldn't stop sharing it. And I pray tonight, folks, that as you walked in those doors here this evening and sat down as someone on the fence, not sure, fearful, doubting, worried, may you leave this place and walk the streets of Kilkeel and tell the world, I have seen the Lord. Because as sure as I stand here, it's as sure as he stood again after his suffering at the cross, his death and his burial, he walked this earth again. And this same Jesus is coming back. And so, my friends, be ready for that day. Be ready for that day when it comes by trusting tonight in the crucified and risen Jesus. Folks, as I said this morning, I will shake your hand the way out. I'll drink a cup of tea with you, not eat any buns. I'm telling you tomorrow night about how I lost weight. Not by eating buns is how you lose weight. So I'll be about. Talk to me. Please do. If you can't speak to me, if you want to just get away home and think about what you've heard, there are these wee booklets These booklets, by reading them, don't turn you into a Christian, but certainly two ways to live or journey into life. Take them home with you, read what they have to say, and give serious thought this night of where you stand with Christ. And as I said this morning, what do? You repent of your sin, and you turn in faith to Jesus. You repent. You know how guilty you are. You know the dirt of your sin. You know what you deserve. And so you flee to Christ in faith and are saved. Friends, I hope tonight some of you will hear this call and you will sleep tonight for the first time in your life as children of God. Amen. And folks, we pray together. Father, I do thank you tonight for the gospel. I thank you that Christ Jesus was crucified for sin. He was raised for justification. And Father God, tonight we await his return. And Lord, I praise you that many in this fellowship are ready for his return. They look forward to it and they long for the day when they will spend eternity with Jesus in that place called heaven. But Father, as well tonight, there are some among us who are not ready. If this was the last night that they were to spend on planet Earth, then truly, Lord, they would go to a lost eternity. Father, I pray that by your Spirit tonight, you would impress upon many their need of Christ. I pray, Lord, there would be some even now who are agitated, who are annoyed, and maybe they don't know why, but may you speak to them, Lord, by your Spirit. May you help them to realize their burden of sin and their need of a Savior. And Father, even now, as I pray, may they pray. May they repent of their sin, and may they turn to Jesus in faith. And Lord, may you give them the assurance tonight that the one who calls upon the Lord will be saved and will never be put to shame. And may they sleep a deep sleep tonight as a child of God. Father, may there be some even now who you have called to your kingdom and whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, work here, we pray. Not just tonight, but in the days to come, this next fortnight. And Father, by the end of it, may there be some here this evening who were unready before this fortnight began, but who by the end of it are ready to meet the Lord Jesus. Those born twice will die only once. And tonight, Lord, we know the truth of that by calling upon Christ. What we have read, what we have preached, was written, inspired by your Spirit, so that we might believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. Father, move here, we pray, and do that work, and bring new birth and new life to some here this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.